watchman, as a matter of fact. And so people started following him. And the Lord just somehow, I got an email and keyed in on him. And I noticed that what he was doing is he would key in on an area, and he would take his staff and he would go out and strike the area to call the judgment of God onto that place. Well, you see, God didn't send Jesus that men would perish. He sent him that they would know who he is and have life and life more abundantly. And so you don't see in the New Testament God sending prophets around to pronounce strong judgments on people. You see God sending prophets around to bring life to people, to bring the gospel to people. And besides all of that, if you've got a man that thinks he's so powerful that whenever he strikes someplace that it's going to be destroyed, then what happens is if somebody is close enough to God to notice, God will change the words that this man is speaking. And to show you how it operated in this instance, he was going to come to Jacksonville, strike the Atlantic Ocean with his cane, and bring God's judgment on Jacksonville. Well, I've spent many, many years praying for this area, and nobody's going to pronounce words like that without me praying about it. And I prayed about it and bound the words up, and he zeroed in, and I became his enemy. And so, making a long story short, he pronounced that God was going to kill me, and that there was a hurricane that was going to hit this area called Omar, and it was totally going to destroy the East Coast, me particularly. And so me and some of my prayer cohorts got together and just started binding up his words and everything. And the hurricane was released, but it went down further down from where Florida is, and suddenly it the Holy Ghost came and just blew it out to sea. So if a prophet is speaking words that are not true, God's people can change what they're saying through intercessory prayer. And so I mention that to you because of the fact that Paul was under the anointing of a greatest prophet in the Old Testament called Samuel. And Samuel, when he died, Saul's dependency. You know, in the New Testament, there's a Saul that changed his name to Paul, so forgive me. So Saul's dependency was upon the prophet and upon, really, David's power to go to war and be the commander-in-chief because of the fact that Samuel was... He was a person that walked in his own ways, his own pride, and he had lost his anointing to walk with God, and he had lost his anointing, really, to hear from God, because he heard from God through the voice of Samuel, and he heard from God through, of course, the victories that David brought to his kingdom. So here he is all alone, and the Philistines are gathering to come about for the purpose of having a war between Saul and his army up on the Mount of Gomorrah. And so when Saul, in verse 5, saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. Now, you see, you can have all kinds of confidence when you're walking with God's people And when you're around godly people, and particularly people that are close to God, you can have all kinds of confidence. But if you go out on your own and you begin to do the old ways, you begin to walk in great fear. Amen? Because it's through the presence of God that we fear not. Isn't that true? And the same thing here. And so it showed Saul his true position, that he wasn't almighty, that just because God made him king, he did not have everything together, that actually it all depended on the Spirit of the living God for the great things that were going on in his life. And all of a sudden, he was totally aware of that fact that here I am now, I'm just totally powerless, you see. And if you come to Miracle, you'll see things like this happening all the time. And if you're not spiritually mature, you may misjudge what your physical eyes are looking at. When you see somebody suddenly leave and they suddenly start stirring in the background and things happen, that person could be rising up against the leadership and saying all kinds of bad things. And you can misinterpret these things and think that Pastor Pat is, something's wrong with her, or something's wrong with Pastor Dennis, or something's wrong with that church. And that's what will be being whispered in a person's ear. But you see, if you follow the wrong person, you'll end up in confusion. Amen? Doubt and unbelief and fear. And so that's sort of where Saul was. At this moment, he was going to have to step out and face the battles all by himself. Now, up until this point, he attributed all of those successes to himself, to his power, his glory, and because, after all, he was king. But you see, God made him king, and the Bible shows that God anointed him when he stepped into that position of being king. In fact, the Bible shows that Saul sat among the prophets and that Saul did prophesy. So it shows that he came into the kingdom in a spiritual way and that God had given him gifts. But as he began to walk in his own soul power and his own physical power and his own thought powers, then he lost courage and faith. And so the Bible shows that he had put these familiar spirits away. And that means the witches, the ones with familiar spirits, that would mean the wizards, that would mean the gods that they worshiped. And the land was being cleansed. And so all of a sudden, he was without power, powerless. Now, when people leave Jesus, they will fall back into the levels of spirituality that they arose to as Christians. If you're a very powerful saint and you've seen God do great things, you've moved in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and so on and so forth, and you turn back, then you'll fall into darkness. And instead of walking in the Spirit of God, you can then walk in the spirits of the devil. And the devil will use those kind of people as prophets, as healers, as all sorts of people that have some sort of supernatural and spiritual powers. Now, if they're walking in that sort of position, they can fool people because spiritual things are supernaturally, spiritually discerned. And we just saw that happen whenever Todd Bentley was ministering over in the Lakeland outpouring. And he ministered over there for about 6 months worldwide. attracted people from all over the world, was ministering nightly to 126 million, and yet his spirit was not right. His anointing was not the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But yet he fooled many, many people that were pastors and leaders in the Christian church. Now, with yours truly, I just turned on the television one night and saw him and said, "What is this?" I knew immediately this was not the anointing of the Holy Ghost. So that interested me enough to watch him for a little bit to see what was going on. And of course, after people ran from all over Florida and all over the United States to him, and some of the so-called most powerful, quote, prophets in the country came and endorsed him and prophesied over him, while he was down on the floor, they told him that he was going to lead the worldwide revival for the new generation, that he was a portal, which is an open door into the heavens, to the earth, for the world, for God to use him in this great revival. And some of these so-called prophets and prophetesses had been around for years. And yet, they were practically bowing at this man's feet because they were spiritually blinded. They did not see the truth of his spiritual condition. And they received another voice, another spirit, and a man that had already fallen in dark sin whenever they made those prophecies over his life. You see, Todd Bentley had already connected with the groupie girl called Jenny, and they had already started an affair. He was already drinking when all of these prophecies were going forth. And of course, when Stacy Campbell came and put her hands on his belly, she released or re-released the Kundalini spirits over him, and the spirits that moved with that little group of people that she was connected to. And for the first few days, he was bright. And you know, when people have a false anointing on them, they become shiny looking. Sometimes they have a sheen on them. Shiny look on them. Sometimes is nothing but a demonic spirit. Now, Christians, true Christians that walk under the anointing of God can have a shine on them too. So he had that shine on him, and so the ones of us that had been warring against that false spirit began to bind those spirits up, and we got him bound up within about a week, and he was right back to where he was before the new anointing came from this other group. But the point that I wanted to make to you is, we're talking about good and evil here. Good people and evil. Good anointings, evil anointings here. So he left the ministry within a couple of weeks, and he was never able to pick up that ministry again, and he disappeared for quite a while. Well, tell you the truth, he's back. He's trying to come back on MySpace, and his girlfriend is one of the pictures up there on MySpace, and he's being exposed again. So, but the point is all of these people were blinded that followed him, but there were some that could see. And so just like in this case that's going on in Saul's life, there were people that followed Saul because he was king, but there were other people that followed David because he still had the eyes and the anointing of God upon his life. And the ones that followed David knew that if God's on your side, you and God makes a majority. And since we're still believers, if all of them go and follow Saul, we better follow the one that has the anointing of God, because we can see the difference. Amen? And so in Saul's case, he knew that he was in spiritual trouble because the Spirit of God had stopped speaking to him. And he had to get what is happening in the spiritual realm so that he could instruct his army so that they would follow him. And so since Samuel was dead, what he does is, in verse 5 it says, "And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart greatly troubled. He was looking at the battle with physical eyes with no anointing." So he was afraid. God had left him. And in verse 6, "And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets." So there he is in between the flesh and nothing. And in order to take up the leadership, he had to have the supernatural word from the other realms. What is going to happen? This is why a lot of people run after people like Todd Bentley. "Thus saith the Lord. The angels told me this and that about you." The angel Emma's walking around the building throwing gold dust all over you. And they see these things and they believe because they see some sort of a supernatural activity going on. They believe that that is a man of God, which as we know it wasn't. So he knew he had to have the anointing. So then he said, then Saul, in verse 7, said to his servants, "Seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servants said to him, "Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor." Now you notice here that these soldiers that were following Saul had already backslidden and was going to the woman that had the familiar spirit, though they were in Saul's army. So as a person is in leadership, his or her spirituality will come down and will spread across the subjects that follow that leader, that's that government leader. And so that's what happened here. And so although his army and his people had put these spirits away, just as when the church is persecuted and goes underground, if witches and wizards and warlocks are persecuted by government, they won't die, they'll just go hide. And that's what happened in this particular situation here. And so when he couldn't get his prayers answered, he looked to the other source of power, the power of witchcraft. And that's what you're seeing going on in our nation today. In verse 8, the Bible says, "And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment," and, excuse me a minute, "and he went, and the two men with him, and they came to the woman by the night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring him up, whom I shall name unto thee." Now, bring him up. And so Saul knew that there was a spiritual realm. And he knew that these spirits took the forms of people because it said, bring him up. It didn't say, bring it up. Or what are you going to do? How are you going to do this? He knew. He was quite aware of what was going on here. And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul has done. He hath cut off those who have familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. Wherefore, then, layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? So she was being very precautious. She knew something was up because she was in hiding, and yet Saul's men had brought this man to her, and her life depended on who he was and if he was really there for the purpose that he claimed. Otherwise, she would have been slaughtered. And in verse 10, and Saul swore to her by the Lord. You see that? I swear to God is what he did. Saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall be no punishment happen to thee for this thing. And said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. Now there's scripture in Deuteronomy and Leviathan, Leviticus, that says not to talk to the dead. Now the reason why God said not to talk to the dead is because demons impersonate people. And if you listen to spirits that are not of God, they're going to lead you into the pit of hell. If you follow spirits that are not of God, they will lead you into hell. Someone asked me this past week, said, Do you believe that Fatima was a real spiritual act of God? I said, No. And we had a long discussion about that. I said, It was a familiar spirit. It was a spirit that had a supernatural anointing on it, not only to fool the children, but to fool the priest of the parish, to fool the bishops of that area, and finally to fool the Catholic Church, and then to fool the whole Catholic world, that this thing that came and appeared was Mary. It wasn't Mary. It was a spirit impersonating Mary. Amen? And so, when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, Where hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And so now you have a situation here where she saw gods coming out of a portal. And whenever she saw a figure that looked like Samuel, she attributed Samuel to Saul. And she identified Saul by seeing the figure of Samuel. At this moment, Samuel hadn't said a word to her. She just, it seems to me, put two and two together. But she was afraid because she saw the earth open. And she saw this Samuel come up from out of the earth. Now, there's a very interesting thing, and I've been looking for the link. I thought I saved it, but I haven't been able to find it. There was a woman that was involved in the Lakeland outpouring and Patricia King. And Patricia King was interviewing her. And in that particular false movement, they believe in opening up the portals of heaven where they travel back and forth into the portals to what they think is the third heaven, what I think is the second heaven. But at the same time, they talk about digging wells. And digging wells into the earth to portals. And this woman describes seeing an angel, a big, big, big angel, when she dug a well to open a portal into the earth. And she looked down. Now, these are supernatural things that they're doing. She's not out there just digging dirt, okay? And so she looked down and she asked this angel, she said, "Who are you?" She said that the angel had chains all around its neck and around its waist. And it said, "I'm the keeper of the records." And he said, "I've been here for centuries. And I've been entrapped here," this so-called angel told her. And it was so creepy. But this third wave participant thought she was talking to an angel of God. That's how blind these people are. She was talking to an angel. And I thought she was talking to an angel from hell that the Bible says has been chained. God in Jude says there's angels chained down there. So, but anyway, and he said unto her, "What form is he of?" And she said, "An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stood with his face to the ground, and he bowed himself. So from that woman's description of this man, he couldn't see the man. But the woman described Saul. So Paul got down on his face to bow before Samuel. Amen. And then he took the word, the deceiving words of the woman, and spoke to the deceiving spirit called Samuel. And he said, and Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" And Saul answered, "I am sore and distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by the prophets nor by the dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that I mayest make known unto me what I shall do." So if you can't hear from God, you'll run to a different source. Now, the different source is, let me go on. It says, and then Samuel said, "Wherefore thou did ask me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and became thine enemy? And the Lord has done to him, and he spoke by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and has given it to thy neighbor, even David. And because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executed his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee. Moreover, the Lord is also delivered Israel with thee into the hands of the Philistine, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord shall deliver the host of Israel into the hands of the Philistine." And so Saul comes off the earth and he's very frightened. But the point that I want to direct your pathway to is the reason, and a lot of preachers think that this is actually Saul that came up and appeared to him. But Saul, he told Saul, Samuel, this impersonating spirit, told Saul, said, "You'll be with me tomorrow." And you see, Saul was a holy man of God. So Saul's spirit would have been down in paradise, separated from the demonic forces of hell. And so I don't have time to teach you on that tonight, but there was a gulf separating the Old Testament saints from the people that went into hell. And so he told Saul, tomorrow you'll be with me. But this was an impersonated spirit. It was a devil. And the devil told him, tomorrow you're going to lose because you disobeyed God. You sought after other prophets, plus you disobeyed God as king. And so the truth about it is that you have to stay close to the Lord when you know the Lord. Because if you enter into the hands of a divinator, and there's many of them around today in the body of Christ that are not right in the spirit, they'll lead you into hell. And so that's all I have for you tonight. Understand all of that? Church of God people say it was Samuel that came up, you know.
Thank you, Pastor. If you have an offering, Bill, will you put that basket on there? If you have an offering, just put it in the basket there. Please stay in prayer for Julie. God is going to be victorious in that situation. See you on Sunday. God bless you.